With that being said, I'm gonna spend a few moments this morning. I believe this is gonna be our fifth installment in this number series. And when Pastor Jason brought it to my attention that I was gonna be bringing the word, I said, Pastor, I thought only the really gifted individuals talk about a book like Numbers. And he laughed and chuckled and he said, well, then why am I speaking? And long story short, I reverted back to him and said, Pastor, are you sure? Are you sure that you want me to deliver a fifth installment of this number series? I was like, we could also just throw up maybe a small devotional on the screen. And he said, No, Pastor. I think that God's got something planned for this morning. And so I went into my word, started spending some time just being able to figure out what God was highlighting to me. And hopefully the Lord's going to be able to speak some wonderful wisdom to us this morning as a church. This morning, the topic that I'm going to be talking about is called the danger of almost. The danger of almost. If you have your Bible, you have your word, you can go ahead and start turning to Numbers 32. That's where we're going to be spending majority of our time this morning in our scripture and in the word. But before we get there, to give you this direction this morning about the danger of almost, I want to share with you guys two quick stories and one that I personally was able to see over the course of this past week. And there was this gentleman, as I was looking on my phone and I was on Instagram and on social media, and there was this gentleman, and he was sprinting through the airport. Has anyone ever been late for an airplane flight? Okay, so this gentleman's not the only one. We've all been there, right? I often joke to my family, I'm the kind of guy that shows up like 6 hours before my airplane flight because I want to make sure I'm not late. And my wife looks at me and says, why do we have to show up 6 hours before the airplane flight? But long story short, I was watching this video of a guy sprinting through the airport, and he had this run, and everyone knows the run, right? If we've all been late, you know the run. It's bag on your back, having a suitcase trail behind you. It's hitting the back of your heels. It's trying to get to your gate. And there's this moment in this video as he's pulling the suitcase, sweating through his shirt, apologizing to everyone as he's bumping them in Terminal B. And he's having that kind of run, and he's weaving around people, jumping over bags just to try to get to his flight. And as he reaches the desk, the airplane employee closes the door behind him, and he's not able to go into his flight. And he says, airplane attendant, can I please just make it? And the employee replies, actually, sir, you almost made it. Now, as I was watching this video, and yes, it was a funny video that I saw, and I don't think it was actually real, I was reminded that oftentimes in life, we do not get an award for almost making it. You know, you don't see lots of social media posts of individuals who took a picture on the outside of their gate saying, almost made it, you know, hashtag winning, right? You don't often see those kinds of social media posts. Because in some areas of our life, if you almost do something or almost make it, it's really not a success. Now just imagine if you almost passed a class, almost got a job, almost won the game, or almost made your water bill payment, okay? If you almost did it, trust me, it's still not a success. Now, along with that airplane story, I wanted to make it more personal this morning. And I was thinking to myself, I'm also convinced that there's two types of people in this world. People who can finish home projects, and then there's people like me. And now I really hope that there's a couple more people like me in this room, because I'm the kind of person where I get about 80% done with my home project, and then it's on the back burner for about 6 months, and then I look really silly, and my wife is like, come on, honey, just finish my home project for me. And you get done with building a desk, and you get 95% of the way. There's those couple extra screws that are left over that I claim is optional, but who knows if they actually are optional. And I'm reminded about completing projects almost or halfway or close to half, almost all the way. And you start organizing the garage. This is a big one for me. I start organizing the garage. I get about halfway through and I look at my garage and I go, There's something nice about this garage. I kind of like the chaos that it ensues and kind of brings. I like hopping over a couple items as I go into my freezer outside to grab my ground beef that we're getting ready to make for dinner. Like, there's just something about the chaos that has a certain charm to it. And nobody walks into my garage and says, Chase, wow, you almost finished. Great job, Chase. I really appreciate that garage and how that looks, right? Almost finished is still unfinished. I think we get the point this morning. But spiritually speaking, almost can be even more dangerous because it often looks close to faithfulness. So to set the scene this morning in Numbers chapter 32, I'm gonna paraphrase and summarize verses 1-5. After 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, Israel is finally standing on the edge of the promised land. God had brought them through slavery in Egypt, sustained them in the desert, and now they are preparing to cross the Jordan River into the land that God had promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. However, the tribes of Reuben and Gad, these two tribes are who we're gonna be talking about today, notice that the land east of the Jordan River was especially suitable for their large number of livestock. Seeing the fertile land, they approached Moses and the leaders at the time with a request. Now here's what they said. Let us settle here instead. Do not make us cross the Jordan. Now again, I'm paraphrasing these first five verses. What they asked for wasn't purely evil. You see, the land was good. Their reasoning was actually pretty practical. But God had promised something greater on the other side of the Jordan, and they were willing to settle for what looked beneficial rather than continuing to pursue the fullness of what God prepared for his people. Which brings us to our main thought this morning, which you already saw all up on the screen, the danger of almost. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this wonderful gift of being able to even have this opportunity to be able to hear your word this morning. Father, would you speak, have your words come forth in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. The danger of almost. You see, this idea this morning that I want us to grasp as a church is the greatest enemy of God's best is often our willingness to settle for almost. Now just let this sink in for a moment. The greatest enemy of God's best is often our willingness to settle for almost. See, Reuben and Gad weren't purely rebelling against God. In this passage, we actually read, they weren't running back to Egypt. They weren't running back to their slavery. They simply stopped short of what God had promised them. And if we can be honest, many of us believers often do the same. Let's just imagine almost in our life like we've done already this morning, almost married. Now, let me tell you, if you were almost married, I don't know if you'd qualify that as success, right? If you were almost graduated, some of our seniors in the room that are now transitioning into young adults, or maybe that specific graduation ceremony after college, if you almost graduated, you probably wouldn't feel like that was a complete and utter success. Almost got the promotion. Now imagine your boss walks you into the room and says, you know what, you've been doing a fantastic job and I almost gave you a pay raise. I almost did, but not quite, right? Almost isn't it. Or this morning is the two stories that I shared to begin with, almost made the flyer, almost finished my house project. I fit into the almost finishing the house project category. And in many areas of our life, almost means failure. You see, spiritually, almost can be dangerous because it often looks like obedience. Reuben and Gad wanted blessing without crossing the Jordan. They wanted provision without the process. They wanted inheritance without the challenge. You see, so there are some lessons in this Numbers 32, this chapter of 32 in Numbers, that the Lord wants to highlight this morning. And so I've got 4 points that we're gonna talk about, and then we're gonna invite the worship team to come right back up. And this first point that I wanna talk about this morning just for a moment is comfort can become the enemy of calling. Comforts can become the enemy of calling. You see, Numbers 32, verse 1, let's actually read the scripture this morning. We'll go back and not summarize. It says this, now the people of Reuben and the people of Gad had a very great number of livestock. And then there's this phrase at the end, it says, and they saw the land. Now, from the practical side of things, we already summarized this story, but from a practical side of things, they had a great number of livestock. And they saw this land that was a pretty good piece of land where they could bring all of their livestock to live. You see, the first thing that they noticed, though, was not God's promise. The first thing that they noticed was the practical. this land works for us. That's what they decided to bring forth to Moses. You see, but comfort becomes dangerous when it causes us to stop pursuing what God has called us to. Now, to apply this to the church this morning and to bring this back to us in this room and to make this very personal, if we're not careful, churches can often settle just like this. Comfortable attendance instead of active discipleship. Us as in the American church, we can often be so comfortable in our attendance that we don't actually pursue discipleship. We can maintain traditions as the church instead of pursuing mission. If we're not careful, we can protect our preferences instead of reaching out to people. Now, Reuben and Gad weren't asking for Egypt again. They weren't returning to slavery. They weren't abandoning God. They simply found something that appeared to meet their needs and decided that it was enough. And that's what makes comfort so deceptive. It rarely looks like rebellion. Comfort often whispers, but you've done enough. Look how far you've traveled thus far. I'm sure that Reuben and Gad were thinking to themselves, but look how far we've come, and there's a land that's good. But what Moses was trying to tell them is, but is it of God? And there's this moment where oftentimes, if we're not careful, comfort can whisper, you don't need to grow anymore. Look at how much you've already come. You don't need to take that next step of faith. You don't need to cross the Jordan. This land's also good. Why risk what you already have? You see, yet throughout scripture, we're reminded about how God consistently called his people beyond comfort. Again, we have a couple individuals that we can look for on this in scripture, and these are just a handful. We could probably talk about plenty of others, but Abraham had to leave familiar territory. Moses had to confront Pharaoh. Peter had to step out of a boat. The disciples had to leave their nets. You see, growth has always required movement. And the danger is that comfort can slowly transform our relationship with God from one of dependence into one of convenience. And it's important to not have your walk go from one of dependence with your Heavenly Father to one to where you're so comfortable that you're not willing to trust him to go cross the Jordan like Reuben and Gad should have to begin with. You see, a comfortable faith eventually becomes a stagnant one. Or in other words, we begin measuring decisions by what is easiest instead of what is obedient. This is one of the things that as the Lord was just, as I was spending time in the later passages of Numbers, the Lord continued to be able to breathe this phrase as I was preparing this message for us this morning. The danger is that comfort can slowly transform our relationship from God from one of dependence into one of convenience. And if we're not careful, we begin measuring decisions by what is easiest instead of what is obedient. Reuben and Gad fell into this trap. They said, you know what? This land is really great. Look at how much livestock we have. It's a perfect place of land for us just to kind of sit here. But what God was saying is, do you understand what is on the other side of the Jordan? You see, many churches don't drift away from God through outright rebellion. They drift through this word called complacency. We become satisfied with maintaining rather than multiplying. Or we get satisfied with attending rather than engaging. We get satisfied with preserving rather than advancing. You see, God this morning wants to remind us we're not supposed to preserve what we have. We're supposed to advance into what he's calling us to. And this is what happened to Reuben and Gad. Their comfort became the enemy of their calling, and they paused before crossing the Jordan. Which brings us to point number two. Almost obedience is still disobedience. Reuben and Gad had to learn this lesson the hard way. Numbers 32:5 says this. This is what they said. Reuben and Gad said, "Do not take us across the Jordan." They had a demand. But this was God's destination. They wanted a different ending than God had planned. Notice this, they still wanted God. They still wanted blessing. They simply just didn't want the full journey. How many believers often live here? I know I do at times. Man, how many times am I almost surrendered fully? How many times am I almost faithful? Or almost generous? God, I'm available, but only on my time. I'm almost available. I'm almost trusting God. And there's a similar story a few books later, and I'm sure that as we continue the Five series, we're getting ready to hop into some later books. But there's this story later on that I love, and I actually just shared it with our youth students, and it's in 1 Samuel 15. If you guys are taking notes or if you want to turn there, it's in 1 Samuel 15. The entire passage is actually from verses 1 through 22. We're going to be reading verse 22 here in a moment. But to give you guys some context of what happens from verses 1 to 21, I'll give you guys the summary. God gives King Saul a very specific command in this passage. God says, completely destroy the Amalekites and everything they have. Now, I don't know about you, but that's not a very vague statement. I think God's pretty specific when he says, completely destroy the Amalekites and everything that they have. God was clear and he was direct on what obedience looked like. Saul goes into battle and he almost obeys. He defeats the Amalekites, but he keeps the best animals and even spares their king. Instead of fully following God's instructions, he chooses what he thinks is reasonable. King Saul made a mistake. You see, when the prophet Samuel confronts him, Saul tries to justify it. He says this. He says, the animals were kept to sacrifice God. He basically said, yeah, I didn't fully obey, but I had good intentions, Lord. And that's when everything shifts. In verse 22, as they throw up the scripture up on the screen, Samuel responds with this powerful truth. Let's catch it this morning. Samuel replies and he says, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. Or in other words, God doesn't want your sacrifices if they come at the cost of obedience. This prophet, Samuel, he teaches King Saul a valuable lesson just a few books later in Numbers, and you find that King Saul spared what God said to destroy. He obeyed almost. You see, we learned this morning that partial obedience is still disobedience. Point number three this morning, as we get ready to round third base and come home, settling short affects more than you. Reuben and Gad made this choice to stop before the Jordan, and it didn't just affect them, it affected those around them. Let's read it. Numbers 32, verse 6, it says this. Moses' response is, shall your brothers go to war while you sit there? Their decision wasn't personal. It impacted the entire community. You see, and the truth is, our spiritual decisions affect others. I'm gonna step on a little bit of some people's toes this morning, but you see, when us as parents, we settle spiritually, our children notice. They do. When leaders settle spiritually, the church often drifts. When believers settle spiritually, the mission suffers. Faithfulness is never merely personal. Our choices either strengthen or they weaken the people around us. And the decision to pursue God wholeheartedly, I love that word, wholeheartedly, creates a ripple effect of faith, while spiritual complacency can create a ripple effect of compromise. So it's important to know that when we serve God wholeheartedly, it actually not only affects us, but it affects those around us. And Reuben and Gad realized really quick that the next generation often inherits what the current generation normalizes. It's a wonderful lesson. And in this book of Numbers in verse chapter 32, I'm reminded about how Reuben and Gad can teach us something this morning. That if we're not careful, Reuben and Gad, they were this close from having the next generation inherit what they decided to normalize. They said, but it's good land. But Moses was like, but is it God's land? And if we normalize things like prayerlessness, then the next generation often may never learn dependence on God. You see, if we normalize lukewarm faith, the next generation may never experience passionate devotion. You see, because what we tolerate in ourselves often becomes the inheritance of those behind us. So as the band can get ready to come up, Again, I didn't want to be long this morning. Just wanted to be able to share what the Lord placed on my heart and step off the stage and have the Holy Spirit do his thing. But point number four this morning, as we get ready to close, God calls us to finish the journey. I love the end of this passage because it wasn't just Reuben and Gad messing up. It was actually Reuben and Gad finishing. Eventually, Reuben and Gad agreed to cross over and fight alongside Israel. Numbers 30, verses 20 through 22, I'm paraphrasing here, kind of threw a couple verses together. I'd encourage you to go read the entire story. Moses' response in verses 20 through 22 says this: "If you will take up arms and the land is subdued before the Lord, then afterward you may return to this land that you want." God wasn't asking them to start. He was asking them to finish. Many people start strong. Again, some examples that I gave this morning: New Year's commitments, spiritual disciplines that when you first come to know the Lord, ministry involvement when you start volunteering for the first time. You see, we oftentimes start strong, but what does the finish look like? What does the endurance look like? The challenge is endurance. In Hebrews 12:1, we read, "Let us run with endurance that race that is set before us." There's this story, and I felt like it was so impactful to me as I was reading it that I'm gonna close with this morning. Missionary William Borden was born into tremendous wealth as the heir to the Borden Dairy fortune was given to him. After graduating from high school, he traveled the world and became burdened for people who had never heard the gospel before. Instead of pursuing the comfort and security that the wealth that he was given could provide, he surrendered his life to Christ's calling. In the back of his Bible, he wrote these two words. These two words are, "No reserves." After graduating from Yale University, where he had a thriving ministry among students, he declined numerous, countless prestigious opportunities because he sensed God calling him to the mission field. Again, he wrote in the back of his Bible two more words. The first one was, "No reserves." The second set of two words was this: "No retreats." On his way to serve overseas, William contracted spinal meningitis in Egypt and died at only 25 years old. Many would have viewed his life as a tragedy or a waste. But when his Bible was discovered, one final phrase had been added beneath the others: "No regrets." See, William Borden understood that following Jesus isn't about how comfortable we begin. It's about faithfully finishing. He didn't settle east of the Jordan like Reuben and Gad. He crossed it. The statement that the Lord told me and reiterated multiple times that I felt like I was supposed to end our service with this morning was this. He kept saying, "Chase, at the end of your life, you will not regret the sacrifices you made for Christ. You will only regret the places where fear convinced you to settle." At the end of your life, Chase, you will not regret the sacrifices for following me. But you will regret the places where you had fear convince you to settle short. What are you settling today? What is your almost? The heart of this message is you as a church, if you guys don't mind being able to stand, we're getting ready to head into just a reflective time. The heart of this message this morning about the danger of almost, this story about Reuben and Gad in Numbers 32. This message about Reuben and Gad wasn't one of rebellion. I don't necessarily feel like our church was supposed to hear a word about how we're rebelling against the Lord and we need to turn back to him. That's not it this morning. What I felt like there is maybe just one individual in this room that needed to hear that the Lord said, "I'm gonna be speaking to you directly this morning." It wasn't about rebellion, it was about settling. They settled when they were almost there. They just had to cross the Jordan. They chose good land over God's land. You see, and the greatest threat to many Christians is an abandoning faith. It's becoming content with a version of Christianity that costs very little. We oftentimes, if we're not careful, can be saved, but not surrendered. We can be attending church, but not engaged. We can be believing, but we're not actually growing. We can be comfortable, but not transformed. And Jesus never called people to almost. Even in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, it says this, "If anyone would come after me," Jesus speaking, "let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Agrippa said in another passage in Acts, another story that I encourage you to read, one of my favorites in Acts chapter 26, King Agrippa actually said this, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Almost is one of the most dangerous words in scripture, because almost can look so close to faithfulness while still missing God's fullness. So the question this morning that I wanna ask as I throw it up on the screen, what Jordan has God called you to cross that you've been comfortable with standing beside? What Jordan has God called you to cross that you've been comfortable standing beside? If we can just have all of our eyes closed, just sit in this moment for just a second. The band's gonna be able to play, and I just want you to think about that question. God, what is it in my life right now that I'm settling in? Can we just take a moment? Can we just think about this for a moment, Leanna, Liz? I'm not satisfied with yesterday's oil, yesterday's fire. Here's my heart, pour it out again. I'm not satisfied with yesterday's oil. Church, the enemy rarely convinces us to run from God entirely. More often, he simply invites us to stop short of what God is calling us to. The word that I felt like was supposed to be encouragement is don't settle east of the Jordan when God has promised you something greater on the other side. If you're here this morning and you find yourself maybe saying to yourself, man, chase that danger of almost, settling that's me in my walk with Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, Chase, that's me in my marriage. That's me in my calling. Chase, there's forgiveness that I'm supposed to be able to walk in. I'm supposed to go forgive someone right now. That's in your obedience. Partial obedience is still disobedience. There's just five that I gave here, but I felt like this morning that we were supposed to identify what that is, and then we were supposed to ask God what our next steps are this morning. So if you're here this morning and you're saying, Chase, I think that my next step is, man, I've settled. Man, I've dedicated my life to Jesus in the past, but maybe I need to rededicate my life. I just wanna just spend a moment here, and I just wanna make sure that there is a call for salvation this morning. With heads bowed and eyes closed, is there an individual in this room that says, hey, Chase, that maybe that's the area for me? If you can just slip up a hand just that way I can see it. If there's an individual inside this place that, hey, Chase, you know what? When it comes to my walk with Jesus, I've settled. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's a handful of hands that went up. I just want to be able to pray a prayer of blessing and over these individuals that raise their hands. And then I'm actually going to invite, after my prayer of blessing and my prayer of just encouragement over these individuals that have raised their hands, I want all of our church to repeat that prayer of salvation after I get ready to pray this. So just give me one moment. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for these individuals that raised their hands this morning, that God, they decided to be obedient and to step out and raise their hand and take a step deeper this morning. That God, that we are not supposed to be called to be a church that settles. God, we're not called to live a life of almost. And so Father, these individuals that raised their hands, God, I pray for just a supernatural encouragement over their life right now, that God, even in the midst of not taking that next step, that you would give them just a sense of courage and a sense of passion just to be able to go jump into the deep end with you, Father. That Father, these four individuals or so that raised their hands and the hands that I saw, or even maybe those that didn't raise their hands, that God, that you would continue to move on them, that you continue to speak to them, that God, as they leave this place, they would not leave the same way that they walked in this morning. Church, this morning, can we just pray this? Those four individuals or so that raised your hands, if you guys be able to pray this with me this morning, just say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for your relationship. And I thank you for calling me this morning. I surrender my life, my mind, my heart, everything to you. From this day forward, I'm gonna choose you and I'm not gonna settle. In Jesus' name, amen. The second group of people this morning, I'm gonna get you out to that 100 degree weather. I know you're in a rush to get out there. But the second group of individuals this morning, man, if you find yourself settling in an area of your life, and again, I just mentioned four, whether it be in your walk with in obedience, whether it be in your marriage, whether it be in your finances, your giving, whether it be, man, there's so many different other areas in your calling. God, wherever it is, maybe you need to ask for forgiveness. Maybe you need to go forgive someone this morning. Can we do this as a church? I want us to be able to say, you know what, Lord, what is the area that I need to, that I have settled, that I need to start walking and right standing with you with? The band's gonna play for about 30 more seconds. All across this place, if that's you, I know this is gonna be a big ask, but I wanna be able to specifically pray with you. If that's you this morning and you wanna make your way down here to this altar, please make your way down here. We're gonna have our prayer team go ahead and lay their hands on you as well. If that's you this morning, the band's gonna play. I'd encourage you to make your way down here and I wanna pray. If that's not you, can you just enter in for 30 more seconds, hands lifted? Can we just be praying on behalf of someone else that's maybe sitting to the left and right of you this morning? Father, this morning, we are gonna not settle and we're going to walk across that Jordan because you have something greater in store. Come on, church, let's not be spectators this morning. Let's go press in. If this is your son or daughter down here at this altar, be praying on behalf of them. Prayer team, go ahead and make your way up. We only got about 60 more seconds, church, come on. Those that are down here at this altar, please do not feel like you're being rushed. Those of you guys that are out in the congregation right now, I just wanted to be able to pray a prayer blessing over you before we give a soft dismissal. Those that are still being ministered to, please stay down here. The band's gonna play for a couple more moments so that way we give the Holy Spirit continued room to be able to move on people's lives. But if you guys can just believe this morning as we get ready to have our soft dismissal. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. God, we thank you for your word this morning. God, we thank you for the experiences of people in the Bible like Reuben and Gad, that God, that we can be reminded that we do not have to stop short of what you are calling us to. That Father, even though it could be good land, we're reminded, but is it of you? Is it God land? And so Father, as we get ready to leave this place, remind us not to settle in our walk. Remind us not to settle in our finances. Remind us not to settle in our marriage, not to settle in our walk with you, not to settle in obedience. God, whatever it may be, whatever you're speaking personally to us this morning, just remind us that almost is not what you call us to. You call us to fullness. And so Father, we thank you. We thank you for that wonderful word this morning in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. We love you guys. Pastor Jason will be back next week. You guys are officially dismissed. We love you. I'll see you guys next Sunday.